Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful again to be allowed to be in this house of worship dedicated to your great and wonderful name, believing you're here, Lord, in a way that you have not been here for 2,000 years. And yes, we can say you've never been here in this particular way. We know that, for thou art Elohim, the one who becomes. And we trust, Lord, as you have become, so are we also becoming. For we rest upon your word that the prophet said, you became us that we might become you. And we know, Lord, that perhaps is in a different direction, but we know that what you have come for and what you have become in our midst at this hour affects us greatly, even to a change to immortality, a winding up of all things. And we're very happy to be a part of that by faith. We believe we are. We count the work done. And we glorify thy name. We trust, Lord, this is true, to truly glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're still on the way of a true prophet. This is number 6. And, of course, this message we could have well just read and perhaps not taken so much time on, but it's like every other message. You begin thinking of all the things that the prophet said. You begin correlating them, relating them. And where do you start? I got thinking today, well, that's good. We'll be out of here in no time at all. So I came in this morning and I began sitting here and I thought, well, we'll be out of here, luckily, before time runs out. So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I just get to thinking some of the thing that's in here and say, where do you leave out certain things and where do you stop reviewing? Where do you stop reminding, rehearsing? I don't know that you ever do. So anyway, we're at the fact of the way of a true prophet, and of course you understand as well as I do that this sermon was necessary because most people to begin with do not believe in prophets such as Brother Branham has brought to our attention, called major prophets or word prophets. There is something in the Bible that says Elijah is going to come. That's true. But what is that all about anyway? And most people simply don't believe in prophets because, you know, they believe that the Bible's already been written and you can't add to it or take from it. And they like to quote that over here in both Deuteronomy and in the book of Revelation 22, 18, 19. If any man add to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Well, that's right, if any man adds. Now, what if God wanted to add? Well, they say, well, God, you can't add because we said you can't. Wonderful. I like that. Then who needs God? You talk about sheer stupidity, arrogance. Come on. I've never heard greater blasphemy in my life. It says if a man adds. Well, now, even Dr. Bloomfield had enough understanding to know that when the thunders were left out, he said, well, look, he said, they're not in the Bible. Error number one. Good thinking, though. He said they're not in the Bible, so somebody's got to come and put them in there for us. Now, that's very good. That's very good. As far as a logical, sane, and I use the word with tongue in cheek and not relative scripture, a sane person would say that's very good thinking. Very good, but he's wrong because the Bible said you can't add and you can't take. But somebody's got to come along. Now, who's going to come along? Second Peter tells us who's going to come along. It says that that great and wonderful day, there's going to be a prophet who, under absolute inspiration, is going to tell you what's in the Scripture by revelation, the meaning of it, what the other prophets have already said. Now, he says that. That's very clear. But people simply don't understand that, I suppose, because they don't want to understand it. What are you going to do? And it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Why, they like to tell you over here, quoting from the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, that God in sundry times and divers manners spake unto the fathers in the prophets. Sure, that's fine. But in these last days has spoken unto us in the Son, by whom he appointed heirs, and they go on to conjecture within your minds. All right, that's the end of all speaking. Since Jesus come, no more prophets. Then what do you do with Paul? How come John opened his mouth? Was he flapping in the breeze? The same book of Hebrews then turns and says here, he refused not him to speak it. Then you turn right around and John has said, God gave a revelation to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ gave it to John. And you tell me who's insane. You're theologians. Now we've got mama and daddy insanity. The denomination and church. Now we've got their children. Little insanities. That's right. You know, I'm going to tell you something. One day, this word's going to judge them. Now, I get up here kind of facetious-like because I'm very sarcastic, late right in the line. Not sincere, reverend, like Brother Branham, but don't ask me to be Brother Branham. After all, he's dead. That'd be nice if I was dead, too. Maybe. Couldn't be Brother Branham at all. But I just don't understand. It says right here, he's going to shake heaven and earth, and then when he does, there won't be any more shaking. The only thing left is the kingdom of God. That's the book of Revelation. And he's talking in there. And he says, seal it up till the end time. Something was sealed in there. And the same chapter 22, it says, don't seal it. So between Revelation 10:4 and Revelation 22:10, it becomes unsealed. What is in here, not understood, is now open. And what they couldn't have, let's understand that. What couldn't be had before has got to be had now, because Paul did not know him in the power of the resurrection, and he's got to know here, because it talks about true resurrection. See? Now, Brother Branham comes on the scene, and he says, now, the way of a true prophet. And we know, and he knows that he's a true prophet. And he takes Amos to as a background, as an illustration, so that you'll understand when a true prophet comes, he is not going to come like you want him to come. He's not going to be what you want him to be. Well, you say, what's he going to be like? Well, let's go to the book that's written by prophets, so we'll know what it's like. Well, he goes to the book of Amos. And in there, he begins telling us from Amos as his background. He's going to tell us all about himself, William Branham, and what pertains to his ministry as a true prophet. Then he goes on and he talks about Micaiah, about Paul, and even the Lord Jesus Christ. He even mentions concerning himself, his own characteristic bald head. How many times did he tell you Elijah had a bald head, and Elisha had a bald head, no doubt Paul had a bald head. I don't know that all the prophets were bald headed. He never said they were. Then he talks about standing afar and looking down the city, his eyes squinting. He did the same thing. He'd look way down the river and mouth, spotted a little old duck floating around. I couldn't even see the log. The duck was floating between the log and the bank. Letting you know the prophets are far-sighted. They have physical qualities they're born with that commend them to what they are doing. Their very nature. He talked about John being wilderness man. Brother Branham was a wilderness man. All of those things. And he spoke of the constant exposure of the sins of women that prophets went into. And going back mostly to Ahab. You go on back there because that's where Elijah became known the first time. And there's five spirits of Elijah, five times. Went to Elijah, John the Baptist, then there's got to be one to the Gentiles and one to the Hebrews. See? He is extra emphatic on the prophet's judgmental nature, as was required by Amos. You read the first three chapters of Amos. He told us to read the whole book. We don't do that, of course, at this particular time, but just read a couple portions here. He said, thus saith the Lord, for the transgressions of Damascus, and for four I'll not turn away punishment thereof. And then he tells why. And then he said, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I'll not turn away the punishment thereof. Because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cut off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. And I'll send fire down upon him. In the second chapter, he speaks for the three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I'll not turn away punishment. Because they despised the law of the Lord, not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after which their fathers walked. Now notice, over these, he's telling about the deeds they did which were despicable. But over here, the despicable deed of Judah is leaving the word. That's what he tells them. Now he said, I'll send fire upon Judah, devour the palace of Jerusalem. Then for Israel, he said, for three transgressions of Israel, and the four I'll not turn away punishment, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes. That's exactly what they'll do at the end time. when the Roman Catholic Church owns it all, and they have the gold and silver, and the bride, of course, will be taken out of here before it's too late, before they can get her. But there'll be the church, the foolish virgins, that'll be purged, and they'll just get rid of them. In fact, if we're here long enough, and we're part of that's part of the squeeze, well, you watch, they'll have no pity. No. It's the money and the whole bit. We look good. We can't afford, you know, to not dress beautifully. And after all, beautiful clothes and buildings and royal priesthood cost a lot of money. Money, 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 money. What did you bid? Well, there's a bunch of souls over here. We'll bid those souls. Hallelujah, I'll take them. You talk about corruption. They don't care. You might as well get an understanding. Ain't nobody cares much about you except God. You better get close to God. And in the showdown, ain't nobody going to care but God. And maybe the end time, he's not going to care. Because it all depends. He said, he that's unsavory with me, I'll be unsavory with him. He that's froward with me, I'll be froward with him. Now, smart off with me, I'll smart off with you. In other words, tit for tat. Sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. Come on, all laid out there. God puts her right in the line. Now, at this time of overwhelming sin in the land, because we find the prophet comes at a time of idolatry, turning from the word, turning from the things of God, judgment has to come. You saw it right there. At this time of great judgment, Brother Branham speaks of the prophet Amos being like a doctor diagnosing. And remember, how often Brother Branham would say in the prayer line, is this the patient? Patient. Dr. Branham diagnosing through the Word of God. All right. Amos, how did you know? In other words, this condition, the land. Just like a doctor diagnosing a case, when he finds the disease that's on the patient, he knows what to do. He knows how far the disease has advanced. And he knows what's going to happen due to the disease. And that's the way with the prophet, a true prophet. Now I say, well, just a minute. How do you know William Branham's a true prophet? Because he diagnoses like a doctor. Come on in the prayer line. Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to discern and tell you all about yourself, and you couldn't hide if you tried. He will tell you where you were to see what doctor. He will tell you what the room looked like. He will tell you the conversation, and he'll hit it every single time. And he'll tell you what the doctor couldn't tell you. What about that Hindu lady, Christian lady, no doubt was in his meetings in Durban. Was it Durban or Johannesburg? It doesn't matter, anyway, in Africa. And there she came before him, very healthy looking and very nice, and he said, you've just been to a doctor. She said, yes, I have. And he said, you have a little cyst. He said, that's exactly right. And that should be removed. That's exactly right. But he said, madam, hold it. He said, make your peace with God further because you will not live. You are going to die. And she didn't die from the cyst. The doctor didn't tell her one thing. And she went down and sat beside her husband, and she toppled over the seat. She was gone just like that. Well, how come the doctor didn't tell her? Dr. Branham could. You've got a wonderful physician and a marvelous diagnostician when you've got a man that can tell you. Better be ready because you're gone. Let the doctor tell you that. Sister Branham fell over dead. When her lady friend there was crying, the doctor said, no, he said, what are you crying for? She's in a better place than we are. She was a lovely Christian lady. She'd gone to her reward. That was a real physician. No prophet, but he certainly had a good diagnosis and a good prognosis on that one. Not too many can do that. But you see, now there again we come to the paradox. This man proves... What is he proving? The great physician now is here. The sympathizing Jesus. That's why the little Amish girl couldn't sit at that piano. That's why the holy angel of God, the Spirit, came down and played the piano. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. Because the great doctor is here. He's diagnosing, but the paradox is the one who does the great miracles and all, they still say, well now, Boy, I tell you, that guy Branham, what a nice discernment he had. But, oh, brother, is he off on the word. Oh, boy. You know what? They didn't like his prognosis. He said, you're all going to die. Didn't like the prognosis. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. I've told you many times. My wife and I, we run to doctor, get the diagnosis that's going to cure us. No diagnosis cures you. It merely tells what is wrong, and that's law. And the church is under law because they've got rid of grace. People think they know grace. Let me tell you about grace and what it really is in very vulgar language. I know it from X-rated sermons, so I'm going to be preaching a little bit on it. What is a legalist? A legalist is a man who is illicit with his sexual relationship with a woman.
Now he's driven to it. He knows he shouldn't do it. But, oh, it is such a delightful thing that, oh, my, but I just, I shouldn't, but I, well, and he does it. I said, well, hallelujah, Jesus, the blood's there. Well, yeah, the blood's there, and you're the intercessor. And woman could be doing the same thing. Don't worry, she is. She's with a man. And, well, Lord, you forgive me. And he feels pretty good, and he's back there the next night. And the next night, next night. But the eternal security man says, well, hallelujah, I'll be eternal secure. I can do any time I want. Walks in and does it. Same rotten sting to spirit. The spirit of grace wouldn't do that to a man. Spirit of grace doesn't do that to women. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's something in my heart that says this. I might want a woman, but can I defile her? Listen, let's get this flat. Let's get this flat. Women are criticized too stinking much because they're the weaker vessel. And I know the angel said to Brother Ben, don't defile yourself with women. That meant women that set their cap for you because you're going to be a handsome preacher boy. And they'll be laying for you. But what about the handsome preacher boys that lay for the women? What right has a man got to defile a woman or a woman to defile a man? See? Now, let's get back to Scripture now. We're reading this, reading what we're saying here. The way of a true prophet. That man, William Branham, could diagnose. He knew every single thing that was going on. He told the church exactly what the trouble was. But they wouldn't take grace. They took law because they were under the church, which is full of adultery. And you've got the falling away church, and you've got the church of bleeding eternal security, and you're both wrong because they won't come to grace. The church has got to have something, brother, sister, that's real before God, or it isn't getting anywhere. I'm not trying to stand up here as though I've got something more than anybody else, not for 1 minute. But I'm going to tell you this, as cruddy as I am, there's something in my heart. There better be something in your hearts, because you're all nicer than I am. And I'm not being sarcastic. But if you got up here, you might not be half as nice as I am then again, though. Because you'd have to hit it a few things. Yeah. She said, well, what makes you talk this way, Brother Vail? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When I get phone calls, like I said last Wednesday night, 40-year-old women were speaking with 17-year-old boys. And 21, there's something wrong somewhere. You say, why preach that here, brother? These tapes go out, and I'm going to keep preaching it. Because I'm going to tell you something. That's in the Bible for the end time. Let this church be warned. Because he that thinketh he standeth better take heed lest he fall, because he will fall. Keep your vessels pure before Almighty God. See, these things have got to be in the church. Right. But they better not be in a bride. No, they better not be. I tell you, I'm kind of fussy. And if I'm fussy, you better believe that God is. And we say, well, Brother Vail, yours might be pure legalism. Sure could be. But God's still fussy. And he's pure grace. So we're not going to throw anything back on God and make God some kind of a fool. Now listen. He said he knows what's going to happen. That's the way of a true prophet. Discerning proof that I don't care what you're doing. When he sees sin advancing, when it's an eating cancer, when it's in such an advanced stage, in the Pentecostals and all the rest of them, they can't come back. They're going to perish. Knowing the word for the hour, that's how this man Amos could discern. How could he discern? Knowing the word for the hour. What did Brother Branham do? Everything for the word for the hour. People thought that William Branham was on the scene simply to help people. That is true, but it's in the negative. He was the living word of God manifested, and he brought that word for this hour, and what he did was contingent to it, and if men took the positive, they'll live. Because he said nothing outside of this message comes to life, then everything in this message does come to life. Now, you've got that in the picture Paul painted in the second book of Corinthians. He said, for some were a savior of life and death unto death. And that's a picture of the Roman general on the beautiful great big white horse because he's conquered the nation. He's bringing back slaves. Those in front are dressed in white. They will be giving freedom and honorary citizenship because they're recognized as great men. The ones behind will go to the gladiatorial arena and they'll die. Prophet of God. Paul said, I'm that kind of prophet. But at the end time, there's coming a man who brings us face to face with Jesus Christ. And then those that walk ahead will live, and those that walk behind will die. That's right. We just got to understand these things because we're not playing. Not judging anybody, not judging even ourselves. That's up to God. Now, how could Amos diagnose the case? He diagnosed it by the word of God. That's how a true prophet diagnoses the case and says to those women, don't you ever try to go to judgment with bobbed hair when you know better. Now, if bobbed hair will keep a woman from the judgment seat, mercy seat, throw her onto the judgment, what about something else? Well, what's with a woman's hair? A woman types the church. You cut off a hair, that's what happened. See? Brother Branham said in every case, the Lutherans stopped. Right short. The Wesleyans stopped. The Pentecostals stopped. Had they gone on, like you and I are doing, and there's no place else to go now, they'd have made it. But the Lutherans are dead, like the Catholics. And the Wesleyans are dead, and that takes in the Pentecostals. The whole bunch are dead. See, because they cut off. I'm 70 years of age. I was 22 years of age when a certain preacher named George R. Upton, one of the big shots in Canada, big Trinitarian Pentecostal, stood there and said, beware. We and our forefathers came out of the churches which preceded us because they turned down light from heaven which was new, fresh and misunderstood. Let us beware lest we do the same thing. And he did it. I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, worldly being the judgment, you say, Brother Bill, I'll ask you. Don't ask me. I don't know. But you better realize by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. You better realize before the judgment ever takes place, every word, Brother Branham said, is circling out there in space to the eternity. Every action, every single thing that's done. All those things are there. See? And Brother Branham proved it. Now the short hair was showing they were cut off. They were cutting off deliberately. Catholics turned down Luther. Now they turn around and say, now, if Pope John had been there instead of Leo and Tetzel, oh my, Luther would have been with us. We'd have been with him. Jesus said, here you say, if we'd have been alive, he would not have killed the prophets. Now he said, no, you're the same children of hell. I ain't Pentecostal. Last bunch I was with, so to speak. I'm nothing from nowhere. Unless I can be a part of him, I'm not interested. See the cutting off of the hair. All right. When you know better, say to you men, the rest of you, you preachers who deny the word, have a form of godliness, joining organizations to dodge the issue. How does the church dodge the issue? Well, our church doesn't believe that. Said the Methodist, hey, said Brother Branham, he said, that young Methodist preacher, he said, you go to the Pentecostals all the time. He said, that's not looking good. Well, he said, what about you taking me? Oh, he said, the church wouldn't allow. When did the church become God? I didn't know the church was God. I thought I was supposed to worship God. I thought I'd go to orders from somewhere. I know where he gets his orders from headquarters. I was the Baptist, I had a letter every day and sometimes three letters. I said, merciful heaven, if I could hear from God this often, I'd be the most spiritual man living. So I said, forget your letters. And got money. I just dumped them. They weren't hearing from God. Oh, listen, the dollar bill could talk so loud. You can do anything you want in the Baptist church, most Baptist churches, most Pentecostals too, if you got enough money. Oh, you don't have to have the priest take up an offering and say, I'll pray you through. Oh, you're a hail fellow, well met, under the blood, everything else, if you got enough money. Amen. Unless, of course, your money begins to maybe disintegrate the whole union, and then your money won't count it because, hallelujah, we must protect our great doctrine. Why don't you protect it before? Oh, you just forget it. What a mess. What a mess. You look at the same word the true prophets would look at, and the diagnosis of the case said death, separation, it's all gone. In other words, a prophet comes on the scene. What word has he got? Same word you got. No different. God, same God you got, so to speak. Just like a doctor knows the case, he knows the kind of symptoms it's got. Look at this nation. When you say Pentecostal, done, finished, sure. when they won't even let you come to church because you preach to the women about their bobbed hair and the Bible condemns it, afraid you'll say something about them? How much love is that? What if a woman does get condemned by cutting her hair? Well, she does. It's not what if, it's she does. How much love has the church got in a thing like that? I'd like to know. There's no love there at all. Oh, sure, love a pocketbook. I know how a man can love a woman with bobbed hair anyway. I never could stand bobbed hair. There's only one person I ever knew. I used to go around, told you, I used to go around the country. I was made test. How many men, raise your hand that really believe a woman looks more feminine. Put the word even sexy. Go ahead. Put it down. Let's read a sermon. I preach them all the time. All right? You want a woman desirable, beautiful enough. Compare. Only one time did they ever notice a man say, I like him with short hair. And where'd he run? Plumb after Lori that took care of that. Or he made himself God. I don't know. Should have made a test here to see where we're going. Tell you, get you the picture, and I can't pull it right now. No. Women don't look like real women with their hair all gummed up. You say, my wife does. I'm sorry for your wife. Too bad. You ain't going to change me. You're going to change God. Not going to change the word. See, where's love? Well, you say, I'll go home and make my wife. No, you can make your wife do that. No. You can ask her, and that ends it. Here the other day when I was up making some campaigns up on the West Coast of ministers, talked to Brother Borders and said, now, to Brother Borders, Brother Branham, when he's on a campaign, I understand now that if he comes here that he baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Borders said, well, he said, he doesn't even preach about doctrine, just prays for sick. And the presbyter said, well, he said, I wasn't asking about that. He said that Brother Brand said they had the tapes. They know. He said, oh, I'm asking you, does he baptize in Jesus' name? Now, he said, only in his own church. That's all, own church. Well, he said, that's it. We don't want him because we don't want a heresy among our people. Now, the word heresy means an opinion. Now, why did this man call heresy baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there is no positive command in the Bible. The one command is baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And every place in the book of Acts, they baptize in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ. So it comes out to baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, they say this, you do not baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but as you are commanded to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore you tell the people, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that does it. Now, that sounds great. But let's find out if they have an assumption. What about tongues evidence? Oh, they say, every place in the book of Acts they spoke in tongues. Where is one scripture said they would is the evidence. Now, where's heresy? Well, you say, Brother Vail, looks like we need a higher authority. That's exactly right, and God sent a prophet. And when the authority came, they weren't interested. See, the prophet gets you away from heresy, which is really hearsay. Well, it really isn't, but it's close enough. All right, the other day, my good friend Ev Dalton got a letter from the Baptist Church and said, we excommunicate you in the Baptist Fellowship because you joined in the heresy of being baptized in Jesus' name. I like to stand with Paul and what the world calls heresy. That's why I worship God, because it's his word. Yes, sir. Oh, sure, the doctor diagnoses the case. He sees where it is. A true prophet diagnoses the case by the word. But I'm going to tell you something. A prophet can't do anything about it. It's going to take God. It's going to take God. Brother Brown explained that thoroughly. He said, you give something to the patient. He said, you've got to give a poison, then you give so much poison, so much antidote. In other words, the medicine is just right. It's got something to come in there and knock it on the head, but doesn't go too far. Like he said, all right, he said, anybody can shoot the rat, but who fills the rat holes? I said, doctor gives you a shot of penicillin, but who's going to bring you back to health? Who's going to fill the holes up where the rat got in there? It takes God. There's a healing within you. And so we're looking at this thing right now. The prophet can only diagnose. The doctor can only diagnose. The doctor assists. So does the prophet assist. But it's God who's going to do the work. And if God's not building the house isn't going to be built. And God demands that he builds a house, especially at the end time, as the beginning, because he tells you if Elijah doesn't come, the whole thing's going to abort. See? So, all right. He diagnoses by the symptoms. Is that right? He looks at the symptoms. He sees what's the matter with the patient. He sees how far it's advanced. And then says, there's nothing that could be done. That's about America, 1956. A true prophet takes the word of God, diagnoses the case, throws the medicine into it, and the people throws it back in his face. See? Now remember, we're under grace. We're under promise. That's the paradox. We're in a strip of territory here just before the millennium. It's promise, promise, promise. That God says, I will restore, saith the Lord. Oh, the church will restore. The prophet restores. Hogwash. Church and prophet don't do it. It's God does it. And God does it to the prophet and the church both. See? People got to get your mind on God. That's why we preach him in his presence. I don't understand people. Brother Brown said the Holy Spirit comes up through the body. And he's up.
Amen.
Then he says he comes down. So he's down. And the prophet says, what's up and what's down? So he's here. I preach his presence. He said, then where are these guys arguing? Because they don't preach it like I do. And I'm going to argue right to the point because they don't preach like Brother Branham did. Because they're always looking back, always looking forward, not looking now. And I say, what's he doing now that he's here? I want to know. We know. By the grace of God, I believe we do. If we don't, where's the prophet say something different? Not being rambunctious, just showing, putting it right there. Now it says he throws the medicine back in the face. What's the medicine? Promise. What God's doing. See what the outworking is. And the people throw it back in his face. They did. What's going to happen? Perish, that's all. Pleasure-loving, world-streaked bunch of so-called hypocrisy. Might as well have said hypocrites. But that's the way of a true prophet, oh my. He sees a disease. He saw they'd gotten away from the word. He knew the word, so he knew the results, what was coming. He saw the luxury they were living in. He saw the way those women were acting. Now, the men like the women to act that way. Mr. Hall and Mary Dayton. Oh, he was a kind of a hail fellow, well meant, but he's a pretty good mayor. Now his son's running, he's a Democrat. What do you expect? Back in the horse and buggy days. Still got old fashioned ideas, think you can spend your way out of debt. You got to be crazy. And so he was telling him how he enjoyed the European trip, and he liked going over to France and place where the mini skirts were all the higher. But taking the clothes off, he'd like that a whole lot better, I guess. That's fine. You want to make America one great big house of prostitution, which it is, that's all right. The church the same way. 16-year-old girl said the same thing, got her picture right in the paper. Mini skirts up here, said, don't tell me you can't be a Christian if you're wearing mini skirts. I'm telling her. Amen. She ain't no Christian. She's a church Pelosi, and that's all it comes. You say, Brother Bill, watch your words. I did watch my words. I just said it. I don't care what anybody said. She's a prostitute, and the word go. Like Brother Brandon said, your grandmother was a flapper, your mother a prostitute, and you're just walking right after her. Now, come on, check the records. You'll just nail her right down and flee from that stuff. Church has got to flee from it. The whole thing types up what's wrong with the church. You're into idolatry. And they think they got God. Making love to God. God making love to them to bring forth the Son. Come on. Not going to bring him forth at all. Now, women acting that way. He'd seen the way the priests were doing, how they got away from the true worship of God and things like that. Then what was Brother Branham to do? To bring them back to the true worship of God is what Elijah did. And he did it on the basis of proving who God was and what God was. Now he said the hearts are turned. What hearts? The 7,000 hadn't bowed the knee. Back to worship. Your hearts are turned back to worshiping God. You say, there's anybody else? The God they say they worship is going to destroy them. How can they worship if they don't worship? How can you worship if God does not accept it? You say, well, I believe he does. Well, let's find out if he does. There's a judgment day coming. Let's find out if we got all the answers. What about those that come and say, Lord, we prophesied in thy name, did wonderful works. We did miracles, did the whole thing. Why, Lord, we had your power. Then we did what you said. Get out of here. I didn't write the book. He wrote it. I just trust I've got a part in the good part. I don't know. It's all good, but you know what I mean. where there's no judgment. He said that God that you claim you serve will destroy you. Then they weren't serving. Why? You've not kept my commandments. Yet they thought he had. Didn't I just read it, the second, fourth verse and so on? Because I chose you of all the families out of the earth, and yet you refused to walk in my commandments. Remember I said a while ago, he nailed them right down. One turned down the word, and the other sold out for money. Boy, when you turn down the word, you will sell out for money. In fact, the reason you might say you turned down the word is because you want the money. You already done sold out. Just like the fellow said, a man told a lie. That didn't make him a liar. He already was a liar. That's why he told a lie. Good thinking. Do you think that little bald-headed prophet, there he is, standing there with a great beard streaking and his eyes flashing fire, speaking to that bunch of priests and things and said, the God that you hypocrites are acting like you're serving, that same God will destroy you? You think he'd get cooperation? There's a message of judgment, brother, sister, then there's got to be a verdict. Oh my, try him today and see if he would. No, but he what? That's the way of a true prophet. He had the word. He knew what it was. And how could he compromise? You see, what you're looking at is this. A prophet could not stop saying what he was forced to say. He was in a straitjacket or a tube. Neither can the end time prophet Elijah, if he is of the same caliber according to Peter. You see, I think Brother Branham should have changed this. Like a friend of mine who's now dead. Oh, he said, Brother Dale, how can you stand William Branham? He said that ranting and raving. He was an Irishman. Doesn't matter what he was. Ranting and raving? Then what's mine? Don't even name it. Not a name for it. Like Micaiah, when he stood before Ahab, he looked at them. That's their other prophets. He knew the word. Micaiah spoke the word to them. Why? Micaiah judged his vision, his doctrine with the word of God. And he had seen that his doctrine and the word was the same because the word said that God would curse Ahab and he would cause the dogs to lick his blood. That's what the word said. So Micaiah had a vision. He was a prophet. He prayed, O Lord God, what must I do? What must I say to this bunch of preachers standing here? All the organizations, everyone in the land gathered against me, Lord. Here I stand before the kings. What must I say? He went into a vision and said, go on up, go on up. But I have seen Israel scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now watch. No prophet ever stood by himself or will stand by himself. No way. God was the first prophet. Then every prophet had to say what God started with, and every succeeding prophet had to build upon that prophet, and every prophet has to jive with every other prophet, or it's not God.
That's right.
How can you write a book by 40 different people in 1,600 different years, and the whole book run in continuity? Couldn't do it. The thematic structure would be impossible. Couldn't be done. All right. That district presbyter walked up and smacked Micaiah in the mouth and said, where'd the word of God, the Spirit of God go? Went it out of me? He said, out of him? Spirit of God go out of him? No, wait, he wasn't in him in the first place. You know what God said? He let a devil, go down and get among them because they were off the word to begin with. What about the devil when he comes down here? Oh, they're going to be standing ducks. Sitting ducks, beg your pardon. That's the word. That guy take a gun and shoot a bunch of ducks in the field. Shooting duck and fish in a rain barrel. Same thing. They will. They've been seduced already. They're off now. They're off the word to begin with. The Bible said they wouldn't believe the word. He'd give them a strong delusion to believe a lie and would be damned by it. That's what happened then. That's exactly what these organizations, people, and nations are doing today. Believing a lie to be damned by it. For there's not a name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Line up organizations. The fact is, can there be a devil amongst us? Well, there's three kind of believers. There's everything going on. I'm not saying there's devils among us. I just say, look, I explained something Thursday. I want you to understand. Because I've mulled these things over a period of time till I get my answers, begin to see what is being said. Since the Father's fell asleep, all things continue toward the beginning. Not knowing this one thing, that God was holding that world in store, in a warehouse, as it were, watching it, holding it. Why? Because the cup of iniquity wasn't filled yet. He said, Moses, I know the 400 years is up, but you're still not getting out. The cup of the Amorites isn't filled. He was waiting for the world of the ungodly to get to such a place that he could get the elect out. Now listen to me. Our cup is not yet filled. You're going to see things and see things that will turn your hair and make you wonder. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Stop your wondering. Get ready for it. I don't know who's going to do what. What I'm going to do, you're going to do, anybody else is going to do. But there's so few people know the first thing about what's going on. And remember, sin increases. Now, righteousness has already had its day. They're lying in the sun ripening. You can't be more righteous than the pronunciation. He became you that you might become him. You're the righteous, perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all thrown back on Satan, little bride. You didn't do it in the first place. What more can you add? You can't. Headship has returned to the bride to raise them out of the dust and to change us. But that world is still heaping and heaping. So don't worry about the world. Get your eyes off it. Prophet said it was going to happen. Says you're going to burn. Oh, my, my, my. I'm going to stay here and burn. Oh, that's a different story. Then believe the prophet. You know, I want to tell you something. Jesus one day said, he said, you bunch of birds, he said, mercy. He said, you bunch of birds. He said, John the Baptist, he came and he was fasting and mourning, and you say, and you look at him and say, well, now, something's very funny here. And then he said, did my brethren come and they're not fasting and they're rejoicing and all, and say, well, something funny here. Said, he can't please you, bunch. Oh, you call the tricks. Mourn to us. Be happy to us. Can't please him anyway. Now, Jesus said some things, and Brother Branham said some things. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Now, if you say, and then you're judgmental. You're condemning. Oh, great. Let's go down here where there's a bunch of food that's like the salmon's just coming in again, understand? Because I see Charlie the Crab there, and Dayton's got a big ad for fresh salmon, right? So pretty soon Kroger's will have the ad in the paper. Fresh salmon. Now let's see, the health inspector goes in all the nice salmon and says, hey, it's full of botulism. Full of salmonella. Salmon full of salmonella. You bet it is. Food poisoning. Oh, good, I'll just slurp that down. Fine, fine, that suits me fine. Oh, does it? Brother Brandon, the food inspector, came by and said, it's all the tables full of vomit. Oh, sir, I love you. Slurp, slurp, slurp. I'm going to tell you something. Something's wrong, brother, sister. Something's mighty wrong. I'm going to tell you this. Let's get this flat. Perception is all but down the drain. Spiritual perception. There's hardly 0.1%. Put that to 5 billion people. It's not even that much. Right. It's a mess. Time to believe what the prophet said. Just stand with it. See? He said it. And he's the voice of God to the people. Vindicated. Now, what about these others? What did these other prophets look at? They were prophets. Yes, sir. They were prophets. Sure. But if they'd stop and examine their prophecy by the word, if Methodists would stop the name and examine their prophecy, they'd never sprinkle another person. They'd receive the Holy Ghost. See? They stopped. Right, that's what happened. They baptized everyone by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wouldn't sprinkle anymore. In the assemblies of God would stop the day and look at their prophecy to come back to the Word. If wonders would stop and examine their prophecy, they'd come back to the Word. But you see, if those prophets were to stop and examine their prophecy, they reasoned, they said, that land belongs to us. We'll go up to Ramoth Gilead, we'll take it. Because it belongs to us. Joshua gave it us. And that's what they say today. Listen, I got the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You prove me I have it. Well, I say, you believe what the prophet said? Ah. Well, you ain't got it. You think they're going to believe that? They're not going to take that for 15 seconds, right, turn over? Oh, one page. 6 more sermons, no way. We're going to close this today. It's the last thing we do. See, pure reasoning entered in. Now they say, we got the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the atonement. We believe this. We're going to make the rapture. It doesn't say that. It says, except Elijah come. Well, that's for the Jews. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What's that? Well, that's Jesus talking to sinners. Hogwash, says he, trying to get back in the church. He's back in the bride. The spirit and the bride say the same thing, got the same thing. They got one voice, got one spirit, got one flesh, got one blood. And above all, they got one mind. He's head of the bride again, brother, sister. Yes, sir. Well, they said, that's ours. We'll go and take it. It belongs to us. Joshua gave it to us through Almighty God. And Micaiah said, sure sounds reasonable. But that's what it is. You don't want to reason. You want to believe God. Don't reason anything. That's what Paul said, casting down reasonings. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That word is called imaginings, but it's not imagination, it's reasonings. People say, well, I got a great imagination. That's not what the Bible says. That's the wrong word. It's reasoning. That's what Satan did to Eve. Okay? People reason right today, say, well, the Bible's closed. Sure, it's closed. But it's open. Can't add a word. Who said you're going to? Just explain it. So I think I am. I know what you are. Ain't nothing. Bring you a vindicated prophet. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had more brains than all this world put together. He sure did. He sure did. Back there in the time of Daniel, he had a dream and couldn't remember it. And all the big shots came and they bowed themselves and said, Old King, great King, listen, you're asking something that nobody else ever asked. He said, sure, I've got the brains to do it. The rest are a bunch of dumb skulls alongside of me. Would have put your birds to death years ago and found out what a bunch of hokey pokes you were. He said, you tell me the dream and I know that you'll have the answer. Amen. Right. Oh, they said, just a minute now. He said, just a minute now. Now, he said, you're the guys that said you had the answer, so you will get the answer or you'll burn. And he said, I'm the only one that forgot the dream, so I'll know. Now, you bring me a prophet like that. But thus saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sure, and then I'll know. And yet that was the hour of the handwriting on the wall. Speaking in tongues, too. It was reasonable, but it wasn't right. What if Abraham would have reasoned? How would he ever left the land? Now he's telling you something here today, brother and sister, that Brother Branham laid it on the line in the unveiling of the mighty God. He said, things are sent to throw the people, but they're not sent to throw the people. They are sent and they will throw the people. If the people don't understand. But the wise will understand, the Bible says. They will not get thrown. See? They understand. So therefore, there are things said here that caused you to know that Brother Branham is telling you something through the mouth of this man Amos. We're looking at Amos. He's letting you know, look, don't question and don't try to reason. Just take it. Then when you get thoroughly conversant with it, to begin to fall into line into place. That's the trouble. That's what repentance is, getting your mind unhinged and rehinged, getting conversant. Repentance simply means get rid of your own thinking and get the mind to God. What if Abraham would have reasoned? How would he ever left his land? How would he have been 100 years old still giving praise to God and going to have a baby by Sarah and her 90? Cast away your reasoning, just believe. You know something? What if I asked you a question this morning? Everybody here has a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old wife. Now, what would be easier for you to believe? That I can stand here and drink a bottle of hard liquor, get tighter than a hoot owl, go on a riding binge in my car, running kids over on the sidewalk, literally killing people. Now listen, what would be harder between these two? That my wife and I, 190 years, could have a baby, or be forgiven by God for all the things I did by drinking this liquor and being such a horrible killer? Now, your reasoning is going to say, well, Brother Vail, ain't no way you and your wife could have a baby. She just tells you what you are. You don't have Abraham's faith. Not that we're going to, because there's no word for it. But I just want you to understand, you see, you just got a long way to come yet where you really believe in God. Because you let your reasoning get in the way. Now, what Brother Branham is trying to say here is this. There isn't any reasoning to be done. The prophet opened his mouth and the words came out. No reasoning. We open our ears. Hey, that sounds good. And the word comes in. No reasoning. Now you've got a God people. Until then you haven't. You say, Brother Vail, how do you figure? I don't figure nothing. I can sit here and tell you, in spite of I'm not going to go ahead and get a bottle of liquor. I'll do worse than that. I won't bother getting one. I do what I do. Which ain't half bad as some people do, but that's not the answer either. Because you just compare yourself. What good's comparison? Let's get down to the real facts. See, I can't tell things. There's no way I can explain things, but I know them. You say, how do you know it? I don't know how I know. Then how do you know? I don't know that either. But a prophet said it. Now let us sink in. See, the ifs and ands and buts, my brother, sister, have nothing to do with it. See, I don't have a promise to die. I got a promise. What if you die? There's not a thing to do with it. The promise is to live. Why? Because the promise is not to leave. The veil is for the bride. But being a part of that, of this hour, I have that promise. But I can die and be back in 5 minutes. See, don't get your wires crossed. Just believe. Don't put your reason to it, because your reasoning always will be wrong. That's why the legalist said, well, I can do this thing right here. And he doesn't really want to do it, and she really doesn't want to do it. But you see, they're weak, and they do it anyway, because they like doing it. And they say, oh, Lord, forgive me. And I got news. They haven't accepted Elijah. They don't believe God. That's why they're doing what they're doing. And the other fellow thinks he and she can do what they want. They don't believe either. That's why there's no grace. Oh, my. I hope we're beginning to see some things, Brother Sister, because it's rich and real if you just let your own thinking go and understand. It's in the simple things. It's not pushing it hard and me yelling, oh, that's my nature. I wish I'd never, ever learned to be that way. But even as a kid, I could, if it wasn't noise, and you know what, after all, what's in silence except dullness? You know, isn't true, it's not true, but just, I see, even when I used to study years ago, I can't anymore, but you could have had a tin whistling around the house and four herds of stampeding camels or rhinoceros coming through the room and bother me. And if I wanted to make my mind up to study it, I couldn't hear you if you almost had to kick me in the shins to get my attention. That's the way it was. Well, all right, listen. Let's go back to the Bible. Oh, just a minute now. He said here, cast away reasonings. Now here, Brother Branham said, and you let the devil tell you. Now here's what the devil says. You know, Brother Branham ain't nothing but a hypocrite. And I said, now wait. Let's see if he's teaching right. Let me go back to the Bible with you. They wouldn't do it, though. Of course, their guess was as good as his guess. But what if he wasn't guessing? Oh, Brother Brown's hooked up with God. Yes, sir. You go to him and he'll tell, read your heart. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Just a minute. When he reads my heart and he tells me, oh, you're brokenhearted because your sainted Aunt Martha died and you were her pet and she was your pet and all these complexes are there. And he could get through for that, and now you need help in your life with the word. And that God stands back and says, well, with Aunt Martha, I can help you. But with my word, forget it. Come on, something stinks, brother, sister. Something stinks. Something stinks. I'm not interested in my Aunt Martha and my dear sainted mother, she was a saint, or my uncle or my brother or my sister or anybody. I'm interested in one thing, God. One person, His Word. If I can't get answers, then what is the use? If William Branham came to clear things and only muddied the waters. That's what people think, and the reason they think it is because of reasoning. Get rid of the reasoning, and you'll begin to see it's in the Bible. And he's vindicated, so therefore you know what he says is the Bible. Now, let's get back to the Bible. He said they won't do it. The devil won't let you do that, to come to me, he says, and get this done. No, see? But the devil will say something bad about me, which he might have the right to. Then you just keep getting that, and you start your reasoning. Yeah, he ought to have done this, he oughtn't have done that. You start looking at me. Well, you have plenty. And you go about looking at Jesus Christ. You could find plenty there too. What about a five-fold ministry? What about the pew? Let's look at Jesus a minute. I'm going to put each one of you a minister right now back there in the days of course. Now, we're going to forget he ever was on earth, like. He's a boy that's proven the whole nation over that he's a bastard-born child. His mother had him before her father and her. He was ever married. His father and she was ever married. It was proven. Now we're going. Now they're not going to the Word. You see, they wouldn't go to the Word, where the Word said a virgin shall conceive. They're just going to what they hear, an illegitimate child. Didn't they tell him he was born in sin and then try to teach them? See, now there's an organization. Will brand everybody different from them illegitimate because they are illegitimate to their concepts. And I'm going to tell you something. A true bride is illegitimate to the church, and the church is illegitimate to the bride. But I'm going to tell you something. God and the bride, true, are legitimate, one to each other. Now look what Jesus was doing. He was actually tearing up every church there was in the country. Was that right? Organizations, everything else. What was he? Some overgrown boy going around, some young fellow, no denomination. Tell me what church you belong to. Who's your father? You say, Joseph, not your father? Joseph, not my father. Well, who's your father? God is my father. Ha, you fanatic. That's exactly what you are. You being a man and saying God is your father. Well, he could sure prove something they couldn't prove. If they would examine it by the Word, hallelujah. Don't you see what the Word was to be made flesh? They didn't examine their vision with the Word. That's it. That's what's the matter today. You don't examine your visions correctly. Your prophecy and doctrine you should examine by God's Word. Somebody tried to tell you the truth, then you follow up with him. Just like Amos did. Tell the truth, then you do the same thing. In other words, if Amos was here, you'd do the same thing. Brother Zanna said, look, I'm not accepted. You think I don't like not being accepted, but you think that I don't understand this truth, that I'm not to be accepted. You think I don't know that's what's going to happen? Do you think if I can read your body and tell you, hey, you've got terminal cancer, and get ready because you're going to die? Now remember out there in Phoenix, Arizona, when Florence was, Karen was going to die. Brother Brown said around 2 o'clock in the morning, between 2 and 3, something like that. He said she's going to die. Well, everybody got to praying and praying, and suddenly someone rose in a meeting and screamed, thus saith the Lord, my little children, she's not going to die, she's going to live. Hallelujah. Everybody screamed, 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 but she was dead by 2 in the morning. They didn't have the wrong answer. See? Now, they knew that he could do that. See? They knew that as a diagnostician, he could do it. But I know they didn't accept Hebrews 4:12. Discernment. They went over here to the book of 1 Corinthians, and they talk about discernment. And they come over here and they say, now these wonderful gifts are, what are they? Oh yes, they are the word of wisdom, and a word of knowledge, and a faith, and a healing, and a miracles, and prophecy, discerning of spirits. Ah, that's it. Tongues and interpretation. It's one of those gifts, and it's one of those gifts magnified as fantastic. Hogwash. The paradox. Ephesus returned. Little woman, I'm going to tell you all about yourself. God on the scene. The Spirit of Ephesians 1:17-21. The work's going on. Come up to headship. He said, if I'm your head, where's my honor? I'd like to challenge the Branhamites on that one. Majority run around, what a great guy I am. What a great guy. You're looking at the biggest hunk of crud in God's humanity, except for the grace of God. I'm still back on the dung heap. It's part of the dung. No leadership at all. Never led anybody, never will. Get to the Word. I could be out of here tomorrow jerking a crumb bum like I am. Go on with God. I tell you like I told my wife, if I mess up, don't you dare mess up. Absolutely. Don't blame me for nothing, credit me for nothing. I stand neutral. That's any gift to the church is neutral. You get a good pipe that pipes water, he doesn't add acid and corrosion. Doesn't add one thing. So I don't know if I'm a good pipe or not. I'm some kind of a pipe. Maybe I'm a stove pipe. Who knows? But I want to be some kind of pipe. All right. Now they refuse the Word. That's what's the matter today. Don't examine everything by the Word. Look here, look at the condition. Now, you would have condemned him, perhaps. That's right. If you haven't gone back to the Word, they do the same. They condemn him today. See, that's why they crucify the Word of God, the flesh. Why? If you women in here, yeah. Why don't you examine your idea of your bobbed hair with the Word and see what it says? Well, I know what they say, I'll read it to you. So you'll understand. We'll finish this Wednesday. I didn't say which Wednesday, so don't you get your hopes up around me. Just in case. All right, he's talking about long hair. Now they're supposed to have the hair for a covering. It says here, I have you know the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Then it says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now we're talking about headship and the conferred position under the complete headship of God. God, Christ, man, woman. Well, come on.
Amen.
I don't care what you think, I'm talking about the Bible. See, what's my hair got to do with it? Cut it off, shave it. It's you, it's your hair, who gives it? Just that simple. You say, Brother Bay, why hits so hard? Look, I'm going to tell you something. Do you think old Edale's some kind of a jerk up here? He knows girls years ago come to this church, used to nip their hair off. Why, women in the church coming down, say, Brother Bale, I saw so-and-so's hair hanging down over, you know, last time before, it's down past her hips, and now it's up in the middle of her back. What's going on if she's cutting her hair? It's just that simple. Anybody knows, you have to ask me. Huh? Come on, I'm not nice, but I never said I was nice. I don't intend to be nice. I'm nicer than nice. I love you. I'm here to help you. You know if you need help, I try to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you now. Now listen, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. They say, well, his head's Jesus. How are you going to cover him? You can't even see him. He's on his Father's throne. I'll tell you what. If you can cover him, then you know what kind of blanket. I'll buy the blanket. It's on but head. It's on your neck. It's on your shoulders. And man. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is all, even all, one as if she were shaven. All right, now we're talking about man can't have a cover in his head. Woman's got to have a cover. She doesn't have a cover, it's better much just go ahead and take her head. Don't talk about Yul Brynner. They're talking about Yuli Brynners. Skinheads. Man bald headed doesn't look too bad with a woman. I ain't going to say no more. The Bible speaks of baldness for women. For if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. It be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Now, the shorn means clipped. It's okay. No shearing. No shaving. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Now we're talking about covering here. We're talking about can't cut, so a man therefore got to cut. His image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not the woman, but the woman is the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have authority, that's power, honoring head because of the messengers. Now right there tells you that there's something positively about the woman's head and her hair that she's got to have. Number one, because of her husband and because of maledom, over wifedom and femaledom. If I can use those terms, make you understand what we're talking about. I'm sure you caught what I'm saying. It's sexism, because that's what it amounts to. It's a sexism. Okay? This woman ought to, she's got to show this, got to have this. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, nor the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it uncomely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Now, the uncovering here is speaking of cutting and shaving. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? So therefore, a man has to cut his hair. So long hair would be uncut hair. But if a woman have long hair, uncut hair, it's her glory, for her hair is for a covering. Now, if God wants your hair for a covering, the question is, how much covering do you want before God? Oh, Brother Dale, I want all the covering. Then don't cut your hair. Praise the Lord. Right? Amen. That's what he's talking about. Anybody can know that. Now watch. Here's what they say, though. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So therefore they say, well, if you're going to fuss about it, then wear a little hat like the Amishers and the Dunkards do, and a few more. Or just cut your hair, really doesn't matter. Oh, brother. He's letting you know nobody in the Church of God cuts hair, period. It doesn't even come up. It's not countenance. It's not an argument. It's nothing to talk about. It's a do it. So that's simple. And now, you see what goes on in the churches? Brother Branham came. Now, look at this cutting off, as I told you, is symbolical. It's a figure of the woman denying her headship. Now, he's saying, look, if you snip it, shave it.
That's right.
In other words, if you give off one part of the Word of God, throw the whole book out. Have the grace to walk out. Yeah. Yeah, deathbed confessions would be interesting, wouldn't they? Men suddenly get convicted. Well, dear, I got to tell you, all the women I've run with. Well, honey, don't die feeling too bad, and I'll name all the men I've run with, too. That's your church. Snip, 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 snip. Adultery breaks a marriage union. Snip, 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 snip. Tight. Long and tight. Let's get back here. Yeah. Look at what he was doing, tearing up churches on. Okay. Why don't you examine your baptism of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and that false trinity, it's so called, which is nothing in the world but three offices and one God, titles. No name of Father. There's no such thing as the name Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is Lord Jesus Christ. Examine your baptism with the way everyone in the Bible is baptized. Now, I'm going to add something to this. Everybody still gets confused because the name of the Father is the name of the Son, and the name of the Son is the name of the Father. It's Jesus, Jehovah Savior. But you've got to understand the other names and titles. As Irenaeus said, there's hundreds of them, but not hundreds of gods. It's one God. And you understand it on the grounds that help you understand Him, like Elohim means the one who becomes. We've stood strong on that in this church here. And anybody listening to me preach and knowing the tapes, You'd at least know what I'm saying if I'm right or wrong, and I know I'm right. Because Brother Branham was right. And he used that word become, and nobody else, no theologian uses it. And yet they know it's there. But they're like Vincent. He understood there weren't three gods. The Son came back as the Holy Ghost. That eliminated one. But the Holy Ghost was the Father. It eliminates two. There's only one. One God that had a body. A human body. Not a pillar of fire. Couldn't die. Not an angel. That couldn't die. Not the wind. That couldn't die. Not a rock. That couldn't die. Not water. That couldn't die. But in the human figure that could die and shed blood, and Jesus was known as the blood of God. One God. See, all the time coming to the place where God could manifest himself in sonship. We'll get into that sometime. I'm getting ready to start looking at some of these other sermons I want to go into. We'll see. I don't know. I'm not too smart, but we can pray. Now he said, if you'd examine your thought with the word, you'd come back and you'd be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's immersed in water. That's what Paul told them to do. Said, if anybody taught anything different, let him be accursed. Even if an angel came down. Seven did. Or you say, Brother Bell, I really don't know. Well, I don't know either. But see, I'm a believer. Oh, they say Joseph Smith had an angel come and he dug a hole in the ground and here were all these gold plates. Why, they say it would have taken a wagon load and better to, for all these gold plates that old Joe got his hands. If I'd have got my hands on the gold plate, I forgot the word. And they talk about this Mrs. What do you call him? Mary Baker Eddy. She had something come to her too. It was true. Something did. Just like to Joe Smith. The seven-day Adventist, the same thing. But Paul said, let one angel come and do off that word. Seven came. And every day he took his Bible in concordance. Joe Smith would have done that. He'd have found he was wrong. Well, he believed in polygamy. So does some of our gang. See, that's the legalist. He wants the flesh that doesn't belong to him. He wants his sexual gratification, and there's no limit to it. So he'll hoodwink a little girl. You say, amongst us? No, not amongst us, thank God. I don't count that part as. Bible said if a man goes out and drinks liquor and whores around the town, he said, don't even sit with him. He didn't say he couldn't blast him. Well, at least I'm honest. Come on, you know that. You, come on, brother, sister. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. At least I will admit one thing, except for his rotten, stinking dishonesty. He has a little honesty. But Brother Brown has said, polygamy's 1,000 times better than Hollywood marriage and divorce, but we know it's wrong. Well, you say the lesser evil is the better. Not unless you're counting calories. Because he that offends in one point of the law is guilty of all. So I just told a little lie last night. Well, it might as well have been a whopper. Brother Branham got caught up on that, you know. Lots of angels come down, you know. How the Pentecost would eat that up. Remember St. Martin? Stood there, a big, bright, shining angel stood there. A man had been baptized in Jesus' name, believed in the Holy Ghost, kept the word. Romans kicking him around, trying to foist their dogmas and man-made doctrines on him, but he stood at the word. And in power, the devils would come and try to talk to him, pay no attention. One day Satan came like Christ, crowned, looking like Christ, golden slippers on. Said, don't you recognize me, Martin? I'm your Lord. Worship me. Martin looked, something was wrong. Martin said, Martin, can't you recognize me? I'm the Lord and Savior. Worship me. Said it three times. Martin just kept looking around. And he seen Christ would be crowned by his people at his coming. See, the vision broke. He wouldn't be wearing golden slippers. He said, get away from me, Satan. Boy, Pentecost is sure he did a bright, shining angel. See, Christ is going to get crowned by his saints, see. Woman came down from Chicago. Brother Branham, ministers up there, said, if an angel Lord told you to baptize in Jesus' name, they'd accept it. But since that's your own thought, I said, if the angel Lord said anything contrary to that, it wouldn't be the angel Lord, see. If any angel says anything contrary to this word, let it be a lie. If a man tells you, a messenger from God, says he's from God, tells you it's right to be baptized, Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, let him be a liar. Why let him be? Because he is. Sure, I would say let him alone. He is a liar. Unless he's the same breed you are, and then it's okay. You know what I mean? You know, sinner, sinner. But it's still wrong, brother, sister, still wrong. They got to answer for it because everything's got to come to light. Everything has got to come. Every word of God's going to be proven. Every word of God for our day has been proven, and every word is going to be proven again at the judgment seat. It's going to be. That's right. It's going to be. It's got to be. Understand that, because it's got to have been an effect. You know, they took this Harry Reams, you know. I don't know, maybe you don't read the papers as thoroughly as I do. I don't read them that thoroughly. But Harry Reams was caught up for very explicit sex acts and pictures. And so they got him in Tennessee. They brought him in, and I guess they bankrupted the guy and different guys too. And then the lawyer found out they tried to make the law retroactive. There wasn't a law passed when Harry Reams did it. So the American law can be just full of manure, that's all, because it is nothing but manure. It's supposed to be based on the Word of God, but it ain't nothing. The way it's handled. But I'm going to tell you something, the Word of God's different. It's being fulfilled, and that day when it flashes on that screen, it's going to be proven it was in effect. And I don't care if the Tennessee law wasn't in effect. Harry Reams ought to know this, being a Jew, that the Word of God is in effect. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's right. When hundreds of thousands are excited by it, it shows there's something wrong, and God will hold them responsible. Now, you get excited by your own house, that's a different story, but don't get excited out there. Now, see, I'm not one of these guys going to tell you a bunch of lies, a bunch of clap, trap, and balderdash, get you all messed up. I'm telling you flat what's in your home, as long as it's clean, it's all right, but it's not out there. That's what I'm preaching. This is what Brother Branham preached. And this is what's going on. Sorry, don't offend anybody, but I sooner offend you. And you say, "Well, lately you didn't tell us." You want to ask some questions? Put them in the. I'll answer questions Wednesday night. Put them in the pot. Yeah, on anything at all, as long as it's on the Word of God. I know something about it. No, sir. Any angel comes contrary, he's a liar. The reason Micaiah could know this prophecy came from God because it was with the Word of God. Yes, sir. See, he went to the other prophet. Wouldn't that be something, Brother Brown, would come and say, "Hey, look at that cloud up there in Arizona. I want to tell you something." He told the folk ahead of time. Seven mighty angels. Now, we don't know that seven mighty angels. But we believe it.
Right.
But I tell you what we also believe. And this is proven just like that's proven, but of course nobody can see the angels. What about those two clouds out there in Sabina Canyon? Brother Banner's out there praying over marriage and divorce. The pillar of fire came down, up and down, up and down, and a black cloud up and down, just like in Moses. Because it took right back to Moses. Moses gave you this. It was death. Now God gives you this. See? Sure. Now, O Amos was here. He'd stay with the Word. That's right. But you say, what's the trouble today with us is like it is with them. I'm fixing the clothes. He's got just a few pages. Their trouble, they've been taught off, they've been taught, they've taken off the foundation, taught off it. See, when you're taught off it, you're taken off it. Said, you made the Word of God not effective by your traditions and false baptism instead of being baptized, shake hands. Some say speak in tongues. I've heard devils speak in tongues and shake hands too. That was cute. I like his jokes better than mine. They come in there, they're not as rough as mine. Devil speak in tongues and shake hands. Yes, sir. That's no sign of it. Now, look, all these things like those things. See, you get off the Word of God. Teach tradition, that's right. He'd have to take you back to the Word. But our teachers today have taught people off the foundation of God's Word. Now, listen close. That's what they've done. What Amos was telling them. The God that you claim to know, he's the one that's going to destroy you. Now, I want you to notice something here, Brother Citra. This prophet of God, if he was really a prophet of God, he is going to be judged by what he said right here. He said, you don't know him, but you claim to know him. Now, that's what Jesus came and said. Now, if that's not an exact repeat of Jesus' ministry, I want to know what is. He said, you don't know him, but I know him. Say, just a minute, did they claim? They certainly did. They claimed to know Abraham's God. He said, you don't. You do what you want with it. I just want to show you, Brother Brown's statement is true. Now, we've been taught off of what? The foundation of faith that was once delivered to Pentecostal fathers. Now, come on. Not to Pentecost, but Pentecostal fathers. Not about Pentecost. But what was at that hour? Yeah. the Bible. Taught a false purgatory, people did. Taught false baptism, false this, false. Organizational. False and original. You don't believe it? Come back to the Bible. Take your purgatory. Take your Father, Son, Holy Ghost, sprinkling that stuff, and come back and see if it's scriptural. Go to the foundation. That's the Bible, see? Go to the prophets. And sure, they're off the foundation, but Paul said in the Bible, the church is founded on the doctrine of the apostles and prophets. Notice it doesn't. It's not founded on them. It's founded on the doctrine. See the word. We went off the foundation of the word, denomination of foundation. Now listen in closing. Put on your spiritual hearing aid. Listen. We got off the foundation of the word and on the foundation of denominations. How long could I stay on that? Another 3 hours off the foundation of the word to the worldly foundation of pleasures, worldliness, and moral creep in the church. Off the word into creeds. That would take me 3 weeks to preach halfway through that. Then those four comments right there. Off the word, denomination, word. The church got right off. There isn't but one thing. Get back to the word. Repent. That's what it means. Go back. Turn about face. You're going the wrong way. Denomination of pleasure. Denomination. Foundation, I mean of pleasure. Foundation of worldliness. Foundation of creeds. All got hatched out of an immoral corruption. Spiritual corruption. That's being off the word. See, spiritual corruption. He being a true prophet, he would see us and he just exactly what he saw in them. If he was standing here in this platform today, and I'd say, Brother Amos, great prophet of God, you fearless one. Fearless. Not fearless as people think fearless. No, not that kind. Come here and take my place. He'd preach his word. He's a prophet. All right. He'd preach it just exactly the way it's written. Just what we're saying now. Just what we're saying. Amos and I both. All right. seeing them what he sees in us. Immoral decay. Just look, friends. How many here in this present church now sees the world in immoral decay? Why, we know this. Well, what's the matter? It's off the word. That's right. It's off the word. Now, listen. I'm going to ask you a question. You tell me what the standard of morals are. Go ahead. Word. So? It's word, see? Minister said, Brother Branham, look, I know you're right in that, but if I preach that, my denomination kicked me out. My people run me out of church. I said, I'd never preach another sermon. I said, preach it anyhow. You know, a certain man got kicked out of church. He was the one that God healed. He was born blind. His parents kicked him out. Everybody kicked him out. And when Jesus came by and picked him up. So you see, when you get kicked out, you're happy. If you get kicked in, forget it. Oh, man, I was glad I got kicked out. Well, he said, you can't have any papers. I said, well, if that's it, I guess I get no papers. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. If you get to the place where even the Bible says at the end time, you know, the grasshopper, like in the song, the Ecclesiastes, you know, where they get so old, it talks about the grasshopper. They say in India, in the East, if a grasshopper jumped on that man's shoulder, he'd fall over. Well, if you can't stand a grasshopper jumping on your shoulder, you're so weak and old, then how about carrying a paper around? Forget it. I can't carry the paper. Yes, sir, it's God's word. You're responsible. If you're a prophet of God, true, you'll stay with the word. If not, you'll look around for denomination. Depends on where you're from. No, sir. Now listen, we cannot build, the government cannot build a house upon a solid rock when the people are voting for a house of pleasure on sinking sands. Now he hits the government and the people. Look what he wants. Just a minute now. Hope we don't wear you out. Look what we want. Just a minute. Can't pass this comment. There's no. Look what we want. Look at our television. That's what we want. We want some of these comedians stand up there and take the turn of dirty jokes. Stay at home for prayer meetings Wednesday night. Or a preacher let out early so you can go and see some old filthy, dirty show, sexy dressed, all the rest. It shows what kind of spirit's in you. See, they're manifesting. We permit it, the people. If the people of this nation would write letters to our government and say there's 100 million letters flying to that government, stop those filthy programs, they'd have to do it. We are the people, but we the people want filthiness, so that's what we get. You say, Brother Bale, don't Brother Bale me. I'm going to go to my dear old friend James over here, and I'll read you now from the fourth chapter of the book of James, and he said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Well, it's that lousy bunch of communists and that filthy bunch of hawks. Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Well, I don't believe that. You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have. In other words, you work up pleasures in you, not sex. Now, come on, not to just kill somebody, you know? He's talking about she that liveth in pleasure dead while she liveth. You kill desire to have, can't obtain, you fight in war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses. Knowing not that friendship of the world's enemy with God. Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world's enemy of God. Do you think the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in lusteth to envy? Spirit in you wants to make you steer you right. Live in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. And have all this kind of corruption. So, yeah. Now they're getting these video cassettes now so they can run them through the TV. Well, I'm not against that if you take good care of it. But what if you should desire to see something that's different? And the wandering eye could soon like that, you know. Look at the radio programs. Oh, my. Turn on Rock of Ages into Twist. Old Rugged Cross in a Swing. Years ago, man, I got no faith in this man, but I think he told the truth. There was this Pentecostal bunch led by a Pentecostal lady because her husband wasn't there that night. And she said, oh, brother so-and-so, and he was not a Christian, would you play some music for us? And he played the Old Rugged Cross. The Old Rugged Cross. And right to the Old Rugged Cross. It syncopated it, right? Right to hopped-up jazz. Listen. Contemporary sinful music. And there's contemporary godly music. Now when they take the contemporary godly music and turn it into the things of hell, there's something wrong. Well, if they turn the scripture, they'll turn the singing. Oh, anything goes. See, not long ago, those hoops, he said, you know, the hula hoops? Brother Branham hated those hula hoops. See? What's it sponsored by? Beer, whiskey, cigarettes, money of the nation. What do they do? In other words, they take radio and TV and sponsor anything. Pentecost wouldn't go to them dirty, filthy pictures and such place. Devil put one over on you. Put the television in your house. Way of a true prophet. Let's stay with the truth. Yes, sir. Look at the billboards. Women standing up with cigarettes in their hand. Every little Jezebel in the country. Back in 1929, Moody's monthly said, the pictures are now showing women near a package of cigarettes with their hand close. How soon will it be before you see the cigarette in their hands getting women to smoke cigarettes? Moody monthly was right. Spoke out like a prophet. Now you've come a long way, baby. Oh, no, baby, you're just one step from hell. Back in 1929, you're maybe 60 years from it. But today you're in it. Amen. With your painted up eyes and your gook and your whole mess that you're into. Understand, a little girl puts the junk on her eyes now that's supposed to bleed. You say, who? Find out for yourself. I ain't cost me just telling you. Where's the mothers? Come on, you mothers, what about your daughters? Oh, little this, little that. Oh, what does it? Well, come on. Then you answer on Judgment Day.
Amen.
Because those were the cats that Brother Branham saw. And I saw the same thing years ago, and I used to look at TV. When Danny Kay had them on. Now, Brother Branham saw these women in the vision. They'd come up, and all this just suddenly, as they ran toward him, they were nothing but great big eyes made up like cat's eyes, way up. And that woo-woo sound. And he sat there like they're coming up the escalator when the vision repeated. I saw the very same thing with Danny Kay. He had all these girls made up like cats. And then he came right toward the camera. Yeah, I used to think Mary Tyler Moore was kind of a nice girl. Because she was she used to go around, you know, with that nice little acting she did. And I saw her one night on TV, and she was dancing like a whirlwind. Oh, beautiful figure, and she could really dance. But just as sexy as a prostitute. I felt so bad about her. She can do what she wants. Her son committed suicide. That shows just what she's already paid a price. Oh, yeah. They don't give her it. They want these things. See now, holding the cigarettes, all that stuff. You say something to Ricky or Elvis, or they'd shoot you, and the government wouldn't. And the government would back them up, because they're only teenagers. Well, that's all right. Oh, you see, they didn't understand they're teenagers. What about the Jews got bar mitzvahs at 13? Who's responsible? Those kids didn't get that way by themselves.
Amen. That's right.
I'll tell you what it was. As the Catholic Church cut off the truth, and the Lutherans cut it off, and the Wesleyans and Pentecost, now they've cut it all off.
That's right. Yeah.
There's only one place to go, and that's to the flesh. That's what they're going to do. And let me read about the flesh. Might as well. This is going to be one of those long, tedious Sundays. I want to finish anyway. If we get too long, I'll cancel Wednesday. You'll see on Wednesday night. Didn't say I would. Listen here. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. absolutely shown and revealed. For God has shown it to them. There's nobody in doubt about it. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. They are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They used to know God. Israel used to know God. Pentecost used to know God. The Catholics used to know God. Every Protestant used to know God. They don't know him anymore. They glorified him not as God. In other words, they couldn't give God the credit for his revelation. Let us sit there. Who knows more about God than God? Nobody knows more about me than I do except God. Somebody tried to tell me about myself. You see, I'm a psychiatrist. I'd drop dead. I know you bunch too. Fact. Dime a dozen. Most are a bunch of German Jews that are renegated. What do they got to offer? Nothing. To get back to God. They knew, glorified him not, knew they were thankful. Became vain in their reasonings. Foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Didn't say there was no God. Although they, some of them did. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now what's the only thing you've got today to save you from this? The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him coming and opening the eyes of your heart. So that in spite of yourself, and you're like this if you're a grace believer, in spite of yourself, you won't be running out here with this stuff.
Amen.
Now, we just ain't putting up with this kind of stuff, brother, sister. Let me tell you something. I don't care if it's all around the world. I don't care where it is. This pulpit doesn't believe anything else but the truth. Now, if I was committing adultery today, I'd tell you the truth. Because I'm a very queer bird, but I'm not committing adultery. I'm not robbing, stealing, and all these things. No, now you're not either. But I want you to know what a prophet's like, and why did he come in this age? Oh, the people say, oh, like this fellow from the West Coast from South Africa, the great African. Oh, yes. Oh, he said that judging that man, the judge of that. Now he's judged himself. Well, he said they're lovely, dear people. And he watched the girls fussy foot across the platform. No right to pray. You get up in the church and prophesy, Sister so-and-so. And you don't dare say a thing because she's a little sex spot of Brother so-and-so is worth a lot of money. Not much for your money. I like money. I don't like it that well. I don't like rob a bank or shoot somebody for it. Get up and tell lies, forget it. You heard what I said. Far better go up, like they say, the only difference between the government and Dillinger, well, Dillinger had a gun. The government's got one, too. Or a used car salesman, same thing. Dishonor their bodies. Change the truth of God to a lie. Worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. In other words, made the church some big thing. Get to God by the church. Come in the church, you got God. Who said so? See? For this cause, God gave up to vile affections. Brother, if you know what I'm talking about, go on down to the newsstand and take a look. Even the women did change their natural use in that which is against nature. Likewise, men leaving the natural use of women burned their lust one toward another. Men of men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of error which was meet. AIDS and the rest of it. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. Oh, we don't hate God. If I have not done the worst of other men, did they not sin? But now they both seen, they both hated me and my father. You get that out of the Bible, and I'll believe you. Oh, we love him. Do you love him? That's a lie from the pit of hell. I'll cry to my dying day, there's no such thing as church love that's the love of God, brother, sister. Don't you tell me that you can separate God, word, and love and get away with it. Something better line up, and it's not this stuff I've seen all my life. Hallelujah, love you, Jesus, and go out and pull everything in the book. Yep. Listen, without natural affection, implacable. implacable, cannot be placated, cannot be turned, no room for repentance, nothing left. Unmerciful. Unmerciful. Why have they got incest today in the homes? Little tiny kids molested all the time. And every way of escape made because God is here to stay. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. The devil is implacable and sin is implacable and lust is implacable. As the Bible said, there are several things that cannot be satiated. The fire cannot be satiated. The grave cannot be satiated. Neither can sin in this hour be satiated nor man. And they don't only have sex, but they want to destroy. It's not just rape, it's violence. Cutting the girl's throat until the blood goes down, strangles the little boy, the little girl, or the adult. Implacable. Knowing this is in the land, the judges stand back and say, well, well. What did it off the Word of God? What did it off the Word of God? What did it off the Word of God? Amen. What's doing it? Cut hair, for one thing. I haven't been so rough and cut hair for a long time. I'm still not rough. I haven't got a feeling in my heart or one in my, not a bad feeling in my bones about cut hair. Do what you want. Any woman here, any woman out there. Amen. Brother Brand said, you cut your hair, your man can divorce you. I don't have to divorce you. God's already done divorced you. You don't tell me there's going to be a virgin with short hair getting. Now, I'm not saying women can't have short hair because the hair won't grow. Look, I knew a poor little woman down below here in Alabama. She looked like one of those chickens, you know, with under curly feathers. It just didn't grow from the time she was four. I'm sorry for her. You think God's going to hold it against her? No. What should she do? She should wear a wig. I'm not talking like God now. And I said that to my wife, she'd wear a wig. All right, so she looks more natural. Now listen, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And those rotten, filthy judges and all the rest have pleasure in what's going on. You say they do know? They don't know. They do know because look at he stood there with him, the judge. It's been known from around the world. And the preacher said, oh, we got to stop this. Yeah. Then Pentecost did the grandest act of all. They said, sure, we'll have him. Any day he wants to come. We'll let the people know he's off the Word. Yeah. Okay, listen. Now you see what a true prophet means. Look at those filthy dreamers. And the churches with their denomination, they shoot you right in the back. The only thing keeps them from doing it is the mercy of God till the message has got out. The devil will kill you if he could do it. That's right, but the message has got to go. I, the Lord, will restore. That's right. I'm able to raise up stones to it. That's right, all right. Our picture shows billboards, pleasure-loving. Florida to California. Key clubs, where men throw their keys in a hat. They're picked up. Live with each other for a week and so on. They don't know what decency means. Out there, little old tight dresses on, things like that, men lusting after them, think they're decent. You might not have done nothing wrong, sister. Let me tell you something. You're a tool of the devil. So is a man, though. Don't worry. He's not saying the man isn't. At the judgment bar, thus saith the Lord, you'll answer for committing adultery and your souls will be gone. Now listen, he said, thus saith the Lord. Now no man can say that on his own. I'm going to tell you something. He's not a true prophet of God if he says it on his own. It won't be backed up. And it's got to have a continuing line in the Word. You'll answer. You know better. You know it anyhow. Our whole setup is corrupt and decayed. It's our people what they want. Like a good man of the house. Why, if a man was a good man of the house blaming your government, that's what sends our boys out here and makes cannon fodder out of it. And that's right, because of our own corruption. That's what it says. If we loved the Lord, served the Lord, voted the right kind of government, everything else would be a wonderful place. That's right. We'd have no wars. No, God would be our refuge and our strength. Send our boys out there and kill them, butcher them up. Everything else is because our own action has brought it to pass. God said so in the Bible, and he doesn't change. He's just the same. It's our own people want it. Now, why does he say that? Chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, we have made the image to the beast. It's He made the image of the beast. I wonder what's going to happen now that Mr. Moon is going to have to serve 18 months in prison mandatory by the Supreme Court refusing to review his case. Yet every Roman Catholic bishop is doing and will continue to do what Mr. Moon evidently got caught in inadvertently because he wasn't doing it when he was told not to. But not one Roman Catholic bishop was on the Donahue show. A couple of black Baptists were. And what's that guy down there in Virginia? Falwell. And he said, I'm against everything he stands for, he said. And he said, I don't do my books the way he does. And we get an A-plus from the IRS. He said, I don't even have a bank account in my name. He said, the church gives us our living and my wife handles it. Which is scriptural if he wants to do it that way. That'll be all right. He handles it spiritual. His wife can handle that part. It's all right. It's not unscriptural. It can be done. But he said, I will fight because this man was done wrong by. The Salvation Army does it, and everybody does. You know how they do it? Because the preachers allow their names to be on checks that they pass out. And they take that money and are responsible. And when it goes in their hands, from that minute on, they can be taxed for it. That's why the church, when I get church checks in my name, I put deposit to Calvary Gospel, to the Grace Gospel Church or Calvary Church in Columbus. And if I put my name on it, I know I'm liable for it, just as sure as I stand here. Now, if it's a gift, that's a horse of a different color. If it's not a gift, if it's a tithe, it's got to go through the proper channels. But if it's not designated tithe, it becomes a gift. That's headquarters from the smartest accountants in America. But the Catholic bishops will not stop doing what they're doing. They're going to take Mr. Cody to court, but he died. How come his lady cousin has not been investigating the money given back to the Catholic Church? Well, they'll cover a bigger nest of worms than ever. But what about our chief justices? Now, let's face it. This man was railroaded on a technicality, not a crime. Did your teenage boys, if you've got them, and you don't, are out there that are raised rotten. They wouldn't listen to you and went out there and committed heinous crimes, even knowing what they're doing. And men who plan to do crimes and do them, the judge will say, well, yeah. For murder, you get a reprimand verbal. For accumulated parking tickets, 6 months in jail. That's where it goes. For blaspheming God and starting court fights and everything else, Madeline Murray O'Hare, you can be glorified as a Venus, which she is. And I hope you caught the double meaning. Send our boys out and kill them if something's wrong. That's the same thing our government about is people here. Don't blame the government. Blame the bunch of backslidden churches for putting such things in their politics as they got. They want it. That's the reason they vote for it. That's the reason they got it. That's the reason judgment of God's upon them. They're going to reap what they sowed. They're sowing now, and they're going to reap later. Watch. We're mad stricken, yeah? Trying to buy our way into Russia. Trying to buy our way with communism. Trying with money. You can't buy gifts of God. There was a guy named Simon tried it. He said, your money perish with you. You're playing the part of Simon the Sorcerer trying to buy a gift of God. Come back to the Word. Come back to God. Come back to Christ. And don't worry about communism. That's right. Don't worry. We'll vote another man and have another Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, somebody who's like the real man. Don't blame that government up there. Blame ourselves. That's what Amos would say. That's the way of a true prophet. So it's not time. No use blaming the government. Which is true. You know, the Methodist Church has been one of the biggest bugaboos of all. But the Catholic Church is the biggest flim-flam of the whole bunch. They pretend they fight communism. But you look at, but you know, I've told you how it is. A Baptist preacher said, holy God, there's something very fishy here. So he put a map. He took the map of the world, and he covered in red everywhere where the Roman Catholic Church was in its two branches, East and West, which is Greek Orthodox. Then he covered that with purple. Rather, first of all, he started with purple, where the church was. Then he began taking his red pencil. And where the Protestants were, there was no red. But where the purple was, it was all red. So who brings on communism? The Catholic Church. Because it drains the people under the people. Say, well, if the priest got it, we better get a little bit of our own. How should you keep a bunch of priests and nuns happy having it? They take a vow of poverty. I'd like a vow of poverty, 3 good meals a day and all the clothes I can wear and have a nice time doing it. If that's poverty, bring me a barrel. Like I said, when I felt better, if this is tribulation, you know, just bring on 2,000 more years with good health. This ain't no squeeze yet. We're just getting there. Okay, alliances. Well, Israel had their alliance. First, they had to get away from the Word of God before they could make an alliance with the enemy. America did the same thing. Certainly. Before we could make an alliance with our enemy and things, we have to get away from the Word of God. Same now. Letting Rome take over. Why are we doing all the time? She took the government. She's taking the place, taking the people, taking the churches. What are we doing? Agreeing with them. Oh, don't make any difference this way or that way. It's all God anyhow. That's what they say. Miserable, backslidden, so-called prophets. Why so-called? Because they are so-called prophets. They're honest prophets. These guys are prophets like falsely. Ahab's 400 false prophets. They're prophets, sure. Students of theology. What's the matter with you? They don't know the word about God and these things. They don't study the word. They don't realize. They say communism is going to take the world over. No, it isn't. It's Romanism taking the world over. It's doing it under the name of Christianity. Didn't the Bible say Jesus? Didn't the Bible or Jesus say it so close to fool the very elect apostle? What we need today. We need another true prophet. Amen. There he was standing right there. We need a man for the word of God to come to. Yes, brother. He'd be rejected, run out, cast out. He'd blast a hole. Sure would. He would sow such seeds till the elect would find it. That's right. We need a prophet. We need a man who has the right interpretation of the word that the word comes to. That God speaks through him and vindicates the word to make it true. That's what we need, brother. We need the promise according to Malachi 4. There it is. To restore what? The faith of the people back to the Bible. The promise. One. He'll do it. See, that's what happened to Elijah's day. Let me go back to that. That's First Kings 19. First Kings 19. Way, way back. Here we are. We're going to get right to it now. Maybe not quite that far. 18. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people that thou mayest know, verse 37, chapter 18, 1 Kings, that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. In other words, the turning of the heart will be only to the elect. The 7,000 that didn't bow the knee, and they did not know. The confusion was too great. And Elijah was very scarce. He wasn't around too much. And when he was, he blasted. And so the people knew that that man knew God, but they didn't know that they knew, but they knew something was working. So one day this great big showdown is called. And the fire comes. And Elijah says, now they know the true God, who I am, who you are, and we together, and this will turn it around. This was William Branham's ministry, to give light to our hearts so the day star could arise and we'd be part of the future of Almighty God. It has been done. You say, has my heart been turned? Certainly your heart's been turned. What do you think has been turned? Your head? Oh, brother. I don't see anybody here with these backbone in the front. I'm sure mine isn't. So your heads haven't been turned. It's your heart that's turned. Your understanding. You have a spiritual concept. It's what you have. See? All right. I don't want to be tough on you, but you know how it is. Amos knew Israel. Ungodly lovers would destroy her. Their ungodly lovers of today will destroy them. That's us. The very denominational creeds and things that they bound themselves unto. You Pentecostals, that's the thing going to destroy you. Your creeds and denomination. You're binding yourself right up under to take the mark of the beast. How's it going to be done? Through joining the institution, the mark of the beast. And they'll sting Jesus, lover of my soul, while they're doing it. See? You're binding yourself right up yonder, taking the mark of the beast and don't even know it, holding it right over your eyes. Sure it is, boycott. Why, they're blinded, see? What are you trying to do? You belong to this, don't belong to that. See? You just wait, just a little bit longer. Then, you say, I'll get out of it then. No, you won't, you're already in it. You're already marked. You're caught with the mark on you. Why? Because the heart hasn't been turned. It's been confirmed in the same old pattern. What enlightens one blinds the other. What free ones enslaves the other. No matter. Esau wept bitterly. He knew better. Wept bitterly. Trying to find a place to repent. Couldn't find it. You'll stay there then. Now's the time to flee. Hebrews 6 was going on, see? No repentance. Amos knew their ungodly lovers. Knew their ungodly lovers would soon destroy her. For they, the church, had left him, God, and his word, and way of life. They got away from God's way of life, made him, and made their own way. Oh, the word is a stumbling block to them. And it's the same thing today. The word of God is a stumbling block. Let's find out. The exact parallel. 1 Peter. And it's got to be the second chapter, I do believe. And it says, wherefore it's contained in Scripture, verse 6, behold, the land's eye, the chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, that believe is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which is the belly disallowed is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. And that simply means not understanding. And they won't listen to the man that can explain it. All right. They say we got the Holy Ghost. Still wear Bob here? Baptized the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? How can you believe those things act the way you do? Goes to show that your fruit proves it. Jesus said, by your fruit you know them. Now that's not being nice and this and that. That's how you align with the Word. Yes, the famous were here to cry against the system. You know that. Now we're going to read a verse in closing. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Listen, in closing I want to say this. I'm sorry to keep you in half an hour late. I'm glad God... I'm a hunter. I hunt. I'm glad God gave me something like that. The other day the gun went off. I went right back down to see if I could shoot it again. I don't want it to scare me. If I was in a car wreck, I wouldn't quit driving a car. If I walk across the floor and stumble on my toe on the carpet and went through the window, I wouldn't quit walking. See? God gave me clean exercise. That was Satan. That wasn't God. See, that was Satan. Now I know the spiritual application to it. There's three of us in this room right now that knows what it is. And it raised a hair on your head. I don't know what it is. I never did find out. Anyway, in verse 8 it says, if a lion roars, who will not fear? I've hunted the African jungles. I've been around where lions are. He's the king of the beasts. I've laid up in the jungle at night. I've heard the squawking hyenas and laughing and howling and different animals. Some of them hyenas make your blood curdle as when they scream. Leopards and whining and beagles and monkeys and baboons. Thousand, 10,000 squeaks and squawks. Walk everywhere. All you hear is the kind of things going on. But let a lion roar. Even the beagles keep still. A deathly hush. They keep still. The king has spoken. Amen. If a lion roars, who will fear? When God speaks, who can help keep from prophesying? In other words, if God is going to speak, you've got to take a prophet. When God speaks, the prophet cries. You know what I mean? The true prophet cries. Friends, he has spoken. Then let every creature of his kingdom take heed to what he said. Now, I didn't say anything else but the kingdom. If a lion can recognize there's something wrong, when he roars, everything of his kingdom hushes. They listen. Even little beetles in that kingdom. The blood-shrilling howl of the hyena shuts up. The elephant there, they could pick a lion up, whirl him around and throw him out. He shuts up and stands still. The Cape buffalo who can snort, look like blowed fire from his nose. When a lion jumps on him, wouldn't even harm him. Let the rhino with his 7 tons of armor, armored piercing and his big snout, let a lion roar, he stops in his tracks. What's the matter? The king has spoken, see? He wants to hear what's going to be said. And when God speaks, the prophet cries, and let the kingdom take heed to what is being said. God has spoken. Let every creature's kingdom listen to what's being said. Let's pray. And then he prays, O lion, the tribe of Judah, rise up and roar. Thou art roaring in this last day. Your eyes are narrowed, looking down. You're seeing the sin of this so-called Christian nation. We're seeing the sin of this nation when it's been bought with the precious blood. We're seeing how the denominations are waiting over your word, seeing how the false prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying. Roar, O lion of Judah, let your prophet crow. When God speaks, who can keep from prophesying? That's Hebrews 12 coming right now, the next day of judgment. It's the word of God coming out of the Bible, moving up through the prophet. Who can hold his peace? If he would, he'd blow to pieces. Oh God, let your prophet roar, Lord. Roar out your message, God. Let every creature of the kingdom take heed. May they stop. May the women stop and examine themselves. May the men stop and examine themselves. May every preacher listen to this tape stop and examine himself. For the lion of the tribe of Judah roars. Then the true word coming to the prophet speaks out, repent and turn back before it's late. God, I commit this message on tape in this visible audience to you this morning, trusting you to prove it, and call every son and daughter of God that's under, that'll hear this tape or hear my voice, back to repentance. Lord, I believe if you send Amos here, he'd cry the same thing. But if he's a prophet of the Lord, he's a sender forth of the word. God sent forth the word. He sent forth by the word and with the word. That's a prophet, and he is the word. Now, Lord, let it be done in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to close with going back to Amos. The third chapter, I'm taking you this time. I'm going to be long. I might as well take the rest of the time. the third chapter, Brother Branham is speaking, and he says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which have brought up out of the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." Wise and foolish virgin are going to hear this, and something's going to happen. Can two walk together except to be agreed? No way. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry to his den, he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth and no gin for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have not taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord have not done it? In other words, he's telling you, look, hey, you know the signs are going on. What if God? What is something that you know has got to be God, or something so mysterious you know you got to be somewhere near God? Something that's very unusual. Something is going on. Look, if you know it out there, you got to know it in here. You don't suddenly come to church being out there very alert. Watch now, little boys and girls, only when the sign says green, walk. Now when it says red, we stop. Whoop, there's a car zooming. Watch it. Don't walk. You may hit that red light. Kill us all. Oh, we know it. Suddenly come to church. Suddenly you're an ape. Come on. That's what happens. That's what happens. Jesus said, look, you can tell the signs out there. You can discern. How come you don't know something's going on? Only the elect. Well, I'm glad I'm going this way, brother, sister. I believe I am. I believe you're going this way. I believe we're all going together. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. In other words, something is to happen which is a secret, but it won't be when the prophet gets there. That's right. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? That's a God. Lion is a lion roaring. We don't need the end of that. The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Publish in the place of Ashdod, the palace of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountain of Samaria, upon the great mountains, the midst of them, press the midst of them, and so on, right down there. You can see right there what he's saying. Look, there's a true prophet in the land. I've given you the earmarks. I've shown you how they do it. I'm a true prophet. I've got all the earmarks, my ministry, everything, my personality. It's all standing in front of you. Can't you stand still and notice something? It's okay. They couldn't. It was all over. Being all over, what can the prophet say? Nothing. And I believe we stand today with the word of the prophet. We saw a true prophet, brother, sister. And you know my stand on that is this. I don't have any integrity when it comes to real integrity. I don't know that if you offered me $1 million in gold and could have a few guarantees with it, I might be persuaded to take your money and, you know, sell you down the river or something. I don't think anybody's got that kind of money, and I'm not interested. What would I do with $1 million? 50 cents, yes, that's more my style. I'm a very minor hoodlum. But you know, there's one thing about me, though, you'll never say that I said something or guaranteed something that I didn't. There's no way. And I don't have any integrity to write home about. But I can assure you I will not let you get away. See, Lee Vale said you come to church tomorrow morning and he'll give you all the blueberry muffins and blueberry pancakes. He's going to make them himself, when I didn't say it. Now, if I'd said it, you better be here and you better be there with pancakes. And if you came and there were no pancakes, I'd have to take you someplace where there were, which I would, because you're going to get your pancakes. But if I didn't say it, you could tell everybody and come say, hey, where's the pancakes? Say, who told you that? You say, well, Lee said it. I said, I didn't say it. So if you said, thus said Lee Vale, I ain't going to back nothing up. Because, first of all, I got a mean streak. As well as I don't intend to back anything up here, don't say half. Now, can you imagine a prophet coming, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, three things are going to happen, and that happen? And that not be God? Come on, brother, sister, come on. Come on, come on. You see the parallelism of Scripture, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that is not Mark 16, that is Hebrews 13 and 8. Ecclesiastes 4:3, 14, 15, and Revelation verse, I think, 10, and different places. That essentially, intrinsically, and in his way, he doesn't change. And there you see going on that people say, look, That's what he did when he was on earth. Then who's doing it now? Oh, that's the devil. You see, because he can do it. And a prophet with thus saith the Lord. Come on, brother, sister. I'm not crazy. I've got too much integrity for that. If there's a seed in you, that seed doesn't do one different from whatever is in me, whatever seed that is, that said, hey, if you ever listened to anybody, he would be the one to listen to. What would make my mind suddenly say, when was he ever wrong? Well, you see, you're deluded. Well, fine. At least my delusion is based upon something pretty good. What's yours based on? Some fathead got up in the pulpit because he had a lot of DDs that aren't worth a plug nickel. Or PhDs. Fiddlesticks. I lived beside a guy back there in Westminster, British Columbia, Canada. He never had any kind of a degree except hot and cold, and that was dependent on the temperature. And when the professors couldn't figure out how to make some of these oil heaters work, and they couldn't do it, they'd call in old Doug, and Doug would make it work right now, and you ask him how he did it. He didn't know, but he did it. It was so much for your PhDs. Not that every PhD is that, you know, foolishly erudite. He's got a lot of good qualities, no doubt. But what are they building on? What are they building on? See? Brother, see, I'm going to tell you. I like what Brother Brannan said. When you see something happen way down here that's identical to way up here, that's Alpha that has become Omega, you know that you're right. Then all you do, you take the scripture that belongs to that. That's all you do, nothing else. And it'll fall in two categories. One for the wise virgin. The foolish virgin is just set to one side. She's just left sitting in the never-never land. And then you got the reprobate. See, because they're the ones at two extremes. God's seed, the bride, true seed, and a serpent seed. What's in between, God takes care of. The ones in between, you leave, he takes care of. But you better believe there's a bride that's in the first resurrection, and she is New Jerusalem. And you got a serpent seed out there that is going to burn. And what is in between is going to come around New Jerusalem. Now, don't you worry, brother, sister, what comes around it. You just worry about one thing. If you caught the vision, you caught the light of a true prophet, you just begin looking in that word is what's for you. That's all you need to do. You don't pay any attention to anything else. I don't know any woman yet who, in making the cake, according to a certain recipe, says, I think I'll have fun today. This is a chocolate cake, and this is an angel food cake. And I shall read both recipes at each time while I'm making the chocolate cake. He said, now that woman wouldn't do that because she's afraid she'd get mixed up somewhere down the road. Then what's the bride doing looking out there? That's right. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we stand before you knowing that there certainly was a true prophet in the land, and there is a true prophet because we know that you are your own prophet. And we know now, Lord, that that very word is coming to light more and more and more, and it is a great separator. We saw the prophet come on the scene, and he certainly was, as it were, a fan in your hand because the people sure began blowing around. And then when he began bringing that word, Lord, we saw things began to skitter scatter. But Lord, we see wheat also piling up. Though chaff may be pulling away and stems and straws may be getting ready for burning. Lord, by your grace, and we say this only through grace, we believe we have a part, Lord, in the not burning. To be standing here, to be made immortal, to be caught away, the grace of Almighty God. So our Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you for this. We cannot praise thee enough. Lord, we've listened, gone almost word by word, taken hours and hours over this message. We don't need, certainly not, we don't need any more convincing. It's just what Brother Branham said, the wheat only needs to pull away from that old shuck which has already actually pulled away from her and stay right there in the sun and ripen. Just see the good word of God coming down more and more upon us. and finding ourselves more and more disassociated with all these things that are not part of us. Father God in heaven, we just praise Thee. We certainly do praise You, because we know that it's all of grace and all of God. Everything, and we know, Lord, because of this, that we believe in all our hearts, full assurance, that we are a part of that beloved bride. And we say this, Lord, with all humility and just real sincere fear in our hearts, Lord, so that we would not want to be presuming, and we don't believe we are presuming. We put all the glory and honor unto You, that we would not have seen one thing of ourselves. There's not anything of ourselves. But it was that little eternal bit of light that was there that came down into a human form, even as the great light came down into human form. And as that great one redeemed us back, and only through the blood. And the union back by the Holy Spirit would be able to know these things. And Father, in our hearts, if we do, I trust, Lord, You'll cleanse us of it, that we would excoriate anybody. As individuals, just cry out against it. For we know, Father, that we're not really engaged in battles of individuals. It's a battle of word against word, the word of God against the non-word. We know that does involve personalities. And we know there will be problems there, but we pray, Lord, that in our lives and our teaching, the whole thing, it shall not be tainted with anything that comes in by a personality, because that would not be right. It must come in through the personality of You Yourself, Lord, and be Your word. It must be all. So that it's going to be God, it's going to be God. Even it was said years ago, God be God, let Him be God. And they said, in this our hour, if You be God, let Him be God. And Lord, we want to let You be God. Whatever it takes to get us out of the way, that little gift the prophet said he had, I trust that we might have a little measure, what a little way we might have it, so we can get out of the way. To God be the glory, great things He has done. In this last day, Lord, we believe it's wind up. Bless each one in divine presence, Father. May each one, O God, realize that there is a heaven to be gained, a hell to be shunned. There is a life here, Lord, that can be lived and must be lived and will be lived for Your glory. Because, Father, we know that that's what You have always set forth in Your Word, and we've always seen it. It'll be a real fruit life of the Word. We praise You, therefore, for each one. May each one receive the help in the body necessary, because we do believe we've already received help within our innermost beings, and our souls, our spirits, and our minds, taking up the little weak spots, hopefully. Helping people to understand. I hope they have, Lord. I've wanted to help them to understand what's in my mind, what I believe is in Your Word. Why things are, what it is. Father God in heaven, we know these things must be and will be. We know that old Lot's got to be down there. We know Abraham's going to be on the high plains. We know, Lord, that Ahab's going to go to his destruction. And Micaiah and Amos, prophets of God, will have to stand right there and take the heat. We know that. We know in the resurrection, they're coming out into the glory of God. Father, we're very happy for that. We're encouraged today. We were built up. Greater depth. We cannot praise You enough. So unto the King, eternal and immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You love Him? I hope you understand a little better. Some things I've said are pretty hard. And I don't apologize for them. Because not saying a thing, doesn't make it go away. Or saying a thing doesn't necessarily bring it to pass. I've said what is true in the church, and believe me, I'm not lying to you. And I want you to know this, it's not over yet. If you've been discouraged over the past, and maybe I have been, let me tell you something. An old Scotch lady one day said, you're a born preacher, no dead. And that's what I'm going to say. We haven't got out of here yet. I don't know what I'm going to do and you're going to do. Or somebody's going to do to us what we may do to somebody. By the grace of God, I hope we do right, regardless of what anybody else does. I don't believe there's going to be a bride who won't do right. I believe that. Yeah. And we're not built on shifting sands. Patterns that little feet leave in the sand and the wind and the waves erase. We're into eternity. Time is blended with eternity. I believe that. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. I don't want to stand here as a queer duck. It gets kind of lonesome. I want to know that in your heart you feel and know the same things. You can't explain them, but you know them. It's under the seventh seal, something that God does. You've got to stick your neck. I've stuck my neck out for you. I stick it all the time. I don't know if you're catching it. You've got to stick your neck out, brother, sister. Abraham had to leave home. Sister Lot. I don't know what made that woman turn around and look back. She lost out in doing it. A lot of strange things. But you know there's a bride. Can't get away from it. There's a bride. Something's moving. She's going to go up. All right. Take the name of Jesus with you. Lord love you.